Oh, Scott, you did so well a while ago. Would you do it again? Put your episode perfectly.
Lord, again, thank you for the ability to be here tonight, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for us, Lord, and also for your wonderful salvation, Lord, that you brought forth, Lord. And Lord, again, you the teachers that they can bring forth what you have, Lord, and be with us that we have open ears, Lord, that we can hear and meditate on your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brother Reagan, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
Okay. Genesis chapter 1 is not the beginning. What is Genesis chapter 1? Pop quiz. What is Genesis chapter 1 about?
Creation.
It's about the beginning of creation. In the beginning, God created. Genesis chapter 1 is about the beginning of creation. Was that where everything began?
No.
Creation began in Genesis chapter 1. Did anything exist before creation? Obviously, God. Because God created. So God had to predate creation. So John chapter 1 says what? Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So in the very beginning, before there was any creation, there was the Heavenly Father and the Word, which we know by verse 14, in Jesus Christ. Now, later verses to the book of Acts that tell you the Holy Spirit is God as well. So you have God the Holy Spirit, God Jesus Christ, God the Heavenly Father. Now, are these personalities or persons?
Persons.
Person. A lot of so-called religion says they're personality. Trying to explain the Trinity. Because they liken God onto water. Sometimes water is frozen, sometimes it's liquid, sometimes it's steam. So it's always water. Well, that is not the God of heaven. Click at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Brother Jared, would you read verses 16 and 17 for us?
And James, when he was risen up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, he saw the Spirit of God ascending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
So what's the significance of those two verses?
We have Jesus in the water, the Holy Spirit descending, and the Father top.
Perfect. Actually, you have Jesus in the water, Jordan River looks actually brown. You have the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. Like a dove, not a dove.
Amen.
People get confused on that. You know, a lot of people think the Holy Spirit was a dove. No. Descends like a dove. Well, and we have a voice speaking from heaven. Now we know the voice is the Heavenly Father. We know the Holy Spirit is descending like a dove. And we have Jesus in the water. What's the significance here?
Three.
All three individuals in three different locations at the same exact moment in time. Not expressions of a personality, but an expression of three different separate identities. A voice from heaven being God the Father, Holy Spirit descending like a dove being in the first heaven, voice of the Heavenly Father coming from the third heaven, and we have Jesus on the earth in the water. We have all three of these in three separate locations where they're doing something in harmony, in unison.
Just out of curiosity, do people that don't believe in the Trinity or think they're just three different versions of whatever the error is, what do they do with these verses? Do they just ignore them or do they try to explain them away?
Well, they explain them away.
How?
Yeah. Well, depending upon...
For one, they say that it was a duck, that's a dove. I've had people tell me that. Also, that just because it was Jesus in the water, physically manifested that God, as God, he could talk. He could still make a voice out of heaven.
Yeah.
So that's the explanation I would give.
Okay. They explain it away, and other religions do other things with it. But here, clearly, we have three different locations at the same moment in time. That's why I like Matthew chapter 3 here. Because he got one moment in time, one singular moment in time. Not 2 days over here and 3 weeks over there. They did exactly the same moment in time. All three of them identified, all three in separate locations. All of them doing something different, but all of them acting in concert. All of them in harmony, in agreement. In fact, the voice is saying, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased.
Well, I just look back to Matthew 3. I wasn't with you guys when you read it. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
Well, the us.
It's kind of like the us that was in Genesis.
Well, no, that's a little bit of extrapolation. The us here is referring to John the Baptist and Jesus. Both of them fulfilling righteousness by having Jesus baptized by John.
Back to your point.
Yeah.
Right there. He didn't do the voice and he didn't do the spirit for himself.
Right.
Did for us.
Yeah.
Jesus always talked to God the Father. I was thinking John 11, right?
He yeah.
Prayed to the Father and prayed out loud. Why? For those around him. These things were a demonstration for us to know the very same thing that you're talking about, the Trinity, they're all working together and they all have different jobs.
Yes.
And the importance, obviously, of that film.
Exactly right. Now look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So the Christian, would you read verse number 7 for us?
Yeah.
There are three to bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
There are three to bear record. Where?
In
heaven. There's three.
The Father, the Word, Jesus Christ. That's in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and verse 15. And the Holy Spirit. There's three that bear record in heaven.
What do they bear record of?
What are they?
And these three. Yes. Or one.
Does Matt, Brother Daniel?
Sorry, I don't make up one. They're not parts of my ship. They are.
Jesus is one. Holy Spirit is one.
Heavenly Father is one.
Do we have those concepts in our society?
Yeah.
Has God ever given this idea of oneness anywhere?
Yeah.
Mary.
Right.
Look at Ephesians chapter 5. People get this, you know, can we fully understand how much one they are? Boy, that's really difficult. But can you understand the Trinity? Absolutely. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. They two shall be one flesh. By the way, verse 32 says, oh, nice timing on that one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. One. When a man and a woman join together in the state of holy matrimony, they cease to be two separate, but become one flesh. We have examples of oneness all over the place. Now, back to Brother Daniel's example of each of them is the whole. Anybody have a joint bank account? Joint bank account is you and your co-owner, joint owner, are owners of the whole. If you go into the bank and say, how much is in the balance? They say $1,000. They say, I want it all. They're going to say, no, you only get half because that, no, they say, okay, you own, can have access to the whole. Because we treat you and your joint owner as one. You both own it all, joint ownership. We have those concepts of oneness. And why? We're going to get into it here. But it all goes back to before creation because of the oneness that exists here.
Mm-hmm.
There are three separate individuals, but they are in total unity and harmony. Total unity and harmony. Did you ever have your parent say, what'd your mom say? But she said, I could do that. I don't know. Whatever your mom said goes here. What'd your dad say? He said, I could have the whole cake.
Yes.
No. What is that? That's that oneness coming out. That oneness coming out. Look at John chapter 17. Now, Brother Daniel is talking about Jesus communicating with the Father and speaking out loud for our benefit. John chapter 17 is the real Lord's Prayer. What's called the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's the model prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is here in verse 7 of chapter 17, where he spoke to the Father, recorded for us, for our benefit. Now look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Say what? Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Heavenly Father. Who's he talking about?
The church.
The church. Those precious souls that followed him in the regeneration and baptism and in New Testament church pastor that Brother Dale was talking about. Do you cease to be an individual when you join the church?
No.
Do you have a mind of your own? Do you cease to have a mind of your own? Do you cease to have an opinion? Has anybody watched sports?
No.
Does anybody know or have ever heard of Wake Forest?
Yes.
Wake Forest is a Southern Baptist university. They have a mascot. They used to be called Fighting Baptist. But, you know, that's just not politically correct. So they changed the name of the mascot to, does anybody know what it is?
Demon Legion.
Yeah.
That's...
Oh, yeah. But what deacon have you ever met that wasn't one? Yeah.
Business meeting.
The Baptists are famous for having opinions. We are famous for having opinions. And we're famous for having opinions that we're willing to fight about. Is that new? It goes all the way back to the very first. You know, the disciples, even in Jesus' presence, had arguments about which one of them is the best, which one's them the greatest. And Mama had to get involved in one argument and say, let my sons be on your left hand and your right hand. Jesus says, you don't even know what you're asking. Because who's on the left hand of Jesus? Jesus is on the right hand of God. So who's on the left hand of Jesus? The Father. But Mama said, let my son sit in the position of God the Father. You don't know what you're asking. Lucifer tried that stunt, and he didn't work out very well. But she asked in ignorance. Verse number 11 says that they may be one as we are. Jesus had an opinion. Heavenly Father has an opinion. Holy Spirit has an opinion. They didn't lose their individuality. They didn't lose their mind. They didn't lose their rights. But what they did do is come into harmony with each other. And Jesus is praying that the church, every member of the church, will come into harmony with each other. And here's how it works. We all decide that this week Brother Hawker gets to his way on this issue. Because the next time we talk about the color of the hymnals, I get to choose, it'll be my turn. That's religion. How do you come into harmony when everybody says, not my will, but thine be done? When Brother Hawker's seeking to do the will of God, I'm seeking to do the will of God, it's surprising. We come into harmony and agreement. We come into fellowship. And truly, our fellowship was with the Father. This is not complicated. This is really simple. Religion complicates it and confuses it to the point that we don't even like talking about the Trinity because we get all confused because we have all the religious stuff. No, it's simply come into an agreement. Come into harmony. Look at verse 21 here. That they may all be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, so they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, so thou mayest be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. His desire for the church, watch this, his desire for the church and every member of the church was to have the same unity as they have. Now, this is mind-boggling. He wants Brother BJ to be as close to Brother Dale and Brother Dale to be as close to me as the Father is to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So we be one. Fitly framed together. How much gaps are in a fitly framed building? None. That we grow into a petition for God. Fitly framed together. His desire was that we all have this experience of being one. Maybe that's why we don't want to talk about Trinity and oneness. Because that means I got to give up my will, Brother Dale's got to give up his will, Brother BJ's got to give up his will. And we all give it to Jesus. And when we're all following Jesus, we're one. We speak with the one accord. We have the same mind. Well, for the author.
That's a good point that Satan sold us the line that we can be as gods. When we look at the Godhead, no one is trying to take preeminence or be an individual. But that's what religion is and humanism is. It's somebody trying to make a name for themselves, not willing to subject their mind, their thoughts, the obedient to the thought of Christ and submit to God. But I want to be known for something. And it does creep into the Lord's New Testament church. And we can see some of those attitudes where, you know, you might have a strong personality, but that personality is yielded to glorifying God. That doesn't mean you're trying to have preeminence. Then there are those that are clearly trying to be different, trying to have something a little bit outside the box, something to where they can be recognized. This is my thought, idea, opinion.
Diotrephes. To lifting himself up. The disciples, again, wanting to know who's the greatest among them. And she's saying, you want to know who's the greatest? You want to be great? Then serve.
Yes.
In the world, it's upside down. You want to be great? Then you stomp on everybody around and you preach from the highest pulpit. I'm the greatest. I float like a butterfly and I sting like a bee. You got to be really old to know what that one is.
Great.
Right, Brother Hawker?
That's Clay.
There you go.
Clay. It's really showing his age.
It's really showing his age.
Just cool to show down.
Brother Bo?
I wasn't going to use the other.
Thank you. Did you have a comment, Brother Bo?
Yes,
it's like... There you go. All right. Anyways, sorry.
Would you like to should try to get back into that oneness we're talking about?
Yes.
Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity in the spirit of the bond. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit.
Keep endeavoring, brother.
And the bond of peace. So that's making an effort.
Yes.
It's
for effort. It's not going to come naturally in our flesh, but we have to try. We have to continue to endeavor, to work. But even Christ in the garden, in this prayer, you know, not my will, but thine be done, right? If it be possible, he's showing us his humanity. But
perfect.
Ultimately,
Jesus had a definite, defined opinion in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was emphatic about it. He was earnest about it. He was sincere about it. He did not want to go to Calvary.
It's fair to even say he was emotional about it.
Yes.
That's why it was in grave drops of blood. And, you know, the most emotional person isn't always right. The most angry or fired up person isn't always right. Because it says here to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So he endeavored to be in unity with the Godhead because of the plan that was laid as the foundation of the world. And so...
Now, let me pause there. Did he have any options?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He told Peter, I can call right now 12 legions of angels. He had options, but what kept him going to the cross was his love and his unity. His will to submit to the whole. Where are we at?
That was
too difficult. This is too much. No. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's huge. Look back at John chapter 10. Look at verse 38. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Say what? But if I do, and you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Many years ago, we had a skunk in church who was trying to steal a car from Brother Paulson in particular. And he went to Brother Paulson and said, Brother Cooper said that you need to give me this car. Brother Paulson said, I don't believe you. I do not believe that Brother Cooper would tell you to tell me to have that I was to give you this car. He came to me and said, Brother Paulson told me that you're supposed to give me $3,000 to buy a car. I said, I do not believe you. I do not believe Brother Paulson would tell you to tell me to give you $3,000 to buy a car. Immediately after that, the phone line hit us, rung up, and we went, huh, isn't that interesting? We got a skunk who's lying to both of us. Mm-hmm. But because Brother Paulson and I knew each other, knew that we would not command the other to do anything. The Father's in me, I'm in the Father. In this case, I knew Brother Bill knew me. We had harmony and unison in that matter. It's not this difficult. When you're married, you begin to know what your spouse will react to. Dantillion number of times I've had husbands tell me, oh, my wife isn't going to go for this. No. She's going to have a fit on this. What's that about? Knowing your spouse. The Father's in me, and I'm in the Father. Look at chapter 14. Brother Jared, would you read verses 8 through 11?
Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not, hast not known me, Philip? He saith unto him, He hath He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake.
Thank you.
Show us the Father. That suffices it. And what was Jesus' response?
You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, that must mean he's one person.
No, how do you explain it? The words that I speak are not my words. But whose words are they? The Father's. That unison, that harmony is so high. There is such agreement that even their words are in agreement. Now, you and I can get very close. Very seldom will our words be the same. But our minds can be the same. Express it with different words. But their harmony is so close that the words are identical. So if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I'm in the Father is in me. For the offer.
Isaiah 9, verse 6. Again, a little contentious. Oh, God. Just a little bit. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So back to your harmonizing, rightly dividing the scripture, understanding what we're seeing even in the Gospels. Mm-hmm. That was understood back then too.
Yeah.
And so inaccurately, he was called the Father. In reality, he was calling himself in unity with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn how to use that also to show folks the truth of the Trinity. Who's he talking to? You? Mm-hmm. Now in Transfiguration. Behold, this is my Son. If we're there to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that we're not supposed to go down this road and we have terms like canned answers and stuff. I don't believe in canned answers. If it's coming out of the scripture, it's the truth. Whether we call it fundamental or basic or whatever it is. This is a doctrine that is simple. You have to yield to it. Anything outside of that has wicked intentions and they're unholy. And just stick to your guns.
Mm-hmm.
This has been confronted with me many times. See right there, who's the son that's born? That's Jesus. Well, he is the Father. There's the oneness. You got to contend with that.
You do. And back in John 17, he's praying that every member of the church would be one with each other and with them. Can you be one with God? Yeah, you can. And that boggles the mind. And you don't have to wait to the afterlife. John 17 is talking about them at the time of the prayer, that they may be one with us, as we are one. You can walk with God. Did Abraham walk with God? Yes. Did Enoch walk with God? Yes. Can you walk with God? If you choose the unity and harmony of the scriptures to let his will prevail in your life. This is huge. But it's green to the, and it's right there in the Trinity. Jesus submitted the will of the Father. They submitted to the will of each other. Later on, we'll get to this council hall in eternity where they discuss who's going to sacrifice. And how did it come about that Jesus was the one? We'll get to that probably tomorrow. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Here's an interesting verse. Colossians chapter 2. Brother Reagan, would you read verse 9?
For in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
For in him, him is Jesus. In Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily means physically. In Jesus dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
I feel like you, Brother Dale. I've got 2 minutes and I'm now on Godhead. I want to breathe for like another 20 minutes on Godhead.
We'll touch on Godhead tomorrow, but every time Godhead is used, it's talking about the Trinity. In Jesus dwelt the fullness of the Trinity. How do you know that? Back at chapter 1, verse 19, I think it is. Yeah, chapter 1 of Colossians, look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should dwell, all fullness dwell. Each one of them was the whole. And Jesus dwelt in all the fullness. Jesus wasn't a third of the Godhead. He was the Godhead. God the Father wasn't a third of the Godhead. He was the Godhead. Holy Spirit wasn't a third of the Godhead. He was the Godhead. He is the Godhead. In Jesus. What does verse 19 tell us? And it pleased the Father that in him, that's Jesus, should all fullness dwell. Now, flip back to chapter 2, verse 9. And him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Show us the Father.
Show us the Father.
Haven't you seen me? Have I been so long with you, you don't know who you're looking at? We are one. I have the fullness of God in you. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. The corollary of that is, if you'd seen Father, you would have seen Jesus.
I mean, that's the God that you have.
Yeah.
So, who was Joshua talking to?
You know.
Oh, I love that. Who was Moses talking to? Jehovah. And for our witness friends, Jehovah is not the Father.
Amen.
Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is the first creation of God. He is the Archangel Michael. Jesus is not a created being. He is, or a restorative class, God. He is God.
They're all water.
What's that?
They're all water.
They're all water. Yeah. Yeah. We'll stop there. We'll pick up in the morning. Brother Daniel?